This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hansen. You may know me from the 2018 series of Love Island.
Since before Love Island, I've always had a passion for women's rights and interests. So I'm here to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to putting yourself first, whether that be in a relationship, in the bedroom, your career, or your mental health. I've called in friends from around the world for an intimate, unfiltered conversation that will change your life forever. The reason I started this podcast is because since I've used my platform to speak so openly, I've had so many of you contact me on social media and even stop me in the street asking me to do a podcast. So now we really can get down and dirty and discuss the most important things that just aren't talked about enough. Expect lots of laughter, a few tears, and for the penny to finally drop as we discuss the most taboo and private topics, helping you focus on the fact that you come first.
I'm beyond excited to introduce you to today's guest, Amelia de Moldenberg, creator of Chicken Shop Dates, the hilarious interview platform on YouTube, where international rap and grime artists date Amelia, who cracks us up with her awkward chat and deadpan sarcasm. There's rumours that Drake's going to be her next date, and I've got everything crossed that this is true. She's building an empire on YouTube, one upload at a time. Since Chicken Shop, she started her current affairs YouTube series, Who Cares, in collaboration with Dave, where she covers topics such as billionaires and cancel culture, a cooking show where she cooks with famous celebrities who are awful at cooking, and a personal favourite is Fake News, which is where she interviews different footballers each episode. And this is a particular favourite of mine because I feel like footballers usually have women laughing at their shit jokes, hanging off their every word. So to see them really squirm with Amelia's deadpan chat is priceless.
Thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you for asking me.
I've been loving watching all your videos.
Oh,
so good. You're so funny.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been seeing you comment. I thought I remember when the first time you commented and I was like, oh my God, it's Megan. And she watches my stuff. So yeah, I'm a fan of you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. How did Chicken Shop Dates start? Like, had you always had the idea? Because it wasn't like something you got paid to do, was it? It was all like yourself, mm-hmm. You come up with a concept and stuff. So how did it come about?
Yeah, exactly that. So when I was about 16, in sixth form, I started going to this after school club in Northwest London near where I'm from. And we made a magazine. That was kind of the point of going. And everyone there was really into UK rap and grime. And I was like into Katy Perry and like pop music and like McFly. And so that was kind of like my way into that kind of genre of music. And I always wanted to be editor of Vogue. That was like my ambition, like as a child, which is why I joined the magazine, because it was like a passion of mine to, you know, work in the magazine industry. But this obviously wasn't like a fashion magazine. It was like mainly music. So yeah, I kind of like got into it in that way. And then you were just allowed to do whatever you wanted. And everyone was so creative and had so many like fun ideas. You could just literally do whatever you wanted. So I sort of thought, oh, I'd love to interview some of these musicians that everyone is going on about and everyone's a fan of. And then thought that a date would be a good way to do an interview. I also had never been on a date, so like wanted to go on a date. And then someone in the group was like, oh, you should go on a date where you would never usually go on a date to make it funny. So yeah, then we just chose a chicken shop because it's not really the number one date spot apart from for me. So yeah, and then it was just like a written up column in the magazine. So I would go there with a friend and they would take photos, and it would just be like friends of friends who had a mixtape coming out, or like a friend of the magazine, and then it just kind of grew from there. And it was only in my first year of uni, so maybe like 2 years after doing the magazine, where I thought, okay, let's make it into a YouTube series because it's really funny in person, or like it's really awkward in person. I think it would work well. So yeah, it's been like nearly like a 10-year journey of the whole thing. So
amazing. It's been
a while, yeah.
And was you getting like loads of views straight away on your YouTube?
Oh no, absolutely not. I was getting, I think I remember the first episode was with Getz, and I think I remember it getting about 1,000 views over 2 weeks, which isn't bad, obviously. And there's loads of like YouTube videos that have like one view, but but yeah, it's I get 1,000 views in like a minute now, so it's just mad. Yeah, so that was, but I was really happy with that, or like considering, because I had no like preconceived ideas of how this show would come across or if people would like it. My friends really loved the column, and like I used to get a few people come and say that if I met them and spoke to them about what I do, they'd be like, oh, I think I've seen that, I like really like it. But that was just a handful of people, so I really had no idea what it would be like.
And now everybody knows you. It must be so surreal.
Well, not everyone. I feel like people who are into probably grime and rap, and then maybe, I'm hoping more people now, that's my like goal, is to just be kind of expand my audience and, you know, get a bigger platform. But yeah, I definitely get recognised a lot now, which maybe only started happening over the last year, where like every time I leave the house now, oh, someone will come up to me. Which is amazing.
Do they address you as Amelia or Chicken Shop Girl?
Chicken Girl, Chicken, Chicken Lady. More and more now people say Amelia, but I still get a lot of, oh my God, it's a Chicken Shop Girl. A girl actually, yeah, there's always funny things like that happened.
Do you ever get annoyed? But, are you like, my name's Amelia, or you're just like...
Yeah, I mean, it's half and half. I feel like part of me is just, I've got a good sense of humour, so I just don't take things, like, I take it as a joke a lot of the time. But it's also kind of annoying, I guess, because, you know, you want someone to know your name and not just call you Chicken.
Yeah, but and that... I guess it's like a part of your personality, do you know what I mean? Like, that's you, and that's obviously how you got your name out there, doing the chicken shop thing. But now you're doing like so much more. You're doing the football thing, which I love.
Yeah,
because personally for me, I feel like every girl just like swoons over a footballer, and then you're just there, yeah, like taking no shit, giving them nothing.
Yeah, oh my God, I love that show so much, Fake News with ProDirect, like, and I'm hoping to do quite a few more episodes. But yeah, I remember when I first interviewed footballers, it was for this like lie detector test for a branded thing with Right Guard that I did. And the first episode was at Jesse Lingard's house. Like, we filmed it, we went to his house and we went there, and I'd never met a footballer before and had to interview them in this really like strict format of them being put under like a lie detector and thinking it was real. It wasn't real. And yeah, so it was mad. But from that moment, I was like, wow, footballers are so brilliant to interview, especially with my tone, because as you said, like, people swoon over them, and they've got such like a, you know, a built up image, they're put on a pedestal. So it is really amazing to go there and just try and like take them down a peg or two, or freak them out.
I'm so here for it. I love it. Like, just the way you're just so like deadpan and like give them nothing, when usually girls must be like, oh my God, I love it, or just laugh at their jokes that aren't funny. What about the Jesse Lingard thing where he didn't even know what a pickled egg was?
Oh my God, yeah. And he was calling it a teg for ages. He was like, it's a teg. And I was like, you are too much. I think he's hilarious. He's so, so funny.
So jokes. Yeah. And I love your who cares thing as well. I think that's so good, because it's like the right balance. Like, I'll watch it for people's like funny responses when they're not even trying to be funny, but it's also so educational, like with all the facts and everything. I love it. I'm addicted to that.
Oh, thanks so much. That means so much because I worked so hard on that, running it through my own production company, which I kind of, but with Chicken Shop Day and my cooking show, that's just run, I produce those with my team. And so with Who Cares, that's also run through my team, but it was a bit different because this wasn't for my own channel. It was for Dave, and I'm working with all the commissioners there, and they're used to obviously doing TV and making TV shows. So it was a learning curve for them as well, making stuff for online. Mm. And it was also just a massive learning for me to be on big Zooms with like 15 people with all the different departments of the channel and like, you know, doing everything. And yeah, and I love that you thought it was educational and funny, because that's what I wanted to make. I think with everything that I do, I want it to be funny, but also interesting in some way. Even Chicken Shop Date, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. Do you ever get nervous when you interview certain people? Like, obviously, when you first started out the column, you didn't know much about grime, but do you love grime music now? And do you get a bit, like, I don't know, intimidated yeah. when you meet some really famous people?
Well, I feel like, yeah, so with nerves, first of all, I get nervous for basically everything, and that's something that I'm trying to just get a hold on, because it's definitely just overthinking, and also maybe I feel like it's part of my process that I have to get nervous before something, when I don't actually think that's true. Like, I think I could get rid of the nerves and it would be fine, but I've kind of tricked myself into thinking if I'm not nervous then I'm not going to do a good job. Well, that's just my own internal dialogue. I need to figure that out. But but yeah, I get nervous for everything, because I feel like I want to do a good job, and I also have to do loads of research before, and I go over my questions loads, because I'm not one of those people who can just go into an interview and like not have any questions prepared, or just be like, oh, I'm just, I get interviewed by a lot of people now who don't come with questions, and I'm always so impressed, because I'm just like, wait, what? So you're just like thinking on the spot of like what, of chatting. But I think that's my awkward nature, is just I'm not like a bubbly chatty person really when I'm working. It's more like I need to be fully prepared. So I think that's why I get a bit nervous. But in terms of like when I actually get there, the nerves go away and I just feel like I'm in the zone and I'm just gonna, you know, do this. So that's quite good in a sense. And obviously now I've been doing Chicken Shop Date for so long that the nerves are really not as much as they used to be. And bringing on more of a production team and hiring my own producer has actually taken the nerves away a lot, because as I said before, I produce all the things myself. So I'm before I go to film a Chicken Shop Date, I'm not just worrying about my performance, I'm also worrying about like the location being open, the crew getting there on time, and the chicken shop guy, like, you know, knowing what's going on and opening the door for us. And now that I've got a producer, that kind of weight is lifted, so the nerves have actually gone away so much, which is so great. But I think, you know, everything's a learning experience. I didn't realise for years that I needed to hire someone to do that and it would be worth the money and like would make things so much better for me. But yeah, and then in terms of the music, yeah, as I said, I got into it, you know, when I was like in sixth form through going to the magazine Through the Cut, and then yeah, I've been a fan ever since. And I think the success of Chicken Shop Date is partly from, you know, choosing the right artists at the right time. And obviously you don't always get it right in terms of who's going to blow up, but, you know, getting AJ Tracy, Dave, you know, on before they were huge. I feel like you got to be listening to the music and you got to have like your ear to the ground in that sense to know who's going to be the next heady one or whatever.
Yeah. So do you remember your first guest? Was that Getz, did you say?
Yeah, Getz was the first guest. And yeah, it was just kind of fluke that he did it, because his manager was like friends with the magazine. And so she would, or his publicist, sorry. So with the magazine I went to, it was quite established in the sense that it was made by young people, but it was something that I think a lot of people wanted to be involved in, because it was kind of like giving back in the sense, like something made by young people. So a lot, we did get quite good access to artists, and the publicist was a fan of the magazine and had read the columns and reached out and said, I'm working with Getz, can he be on Chicken Shop Date? And I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. I actually want to do them filmed for the first time. Do you think he'd do it filmed? And she was like, I'll ask him. And he just said, yeah, sure.
Oh
so
my God.
I just think he's just up for it. And I was also at a time when grime and rap hadn't had its like renaissance. It hadn't like, you know, become super mainstream as it is now. So I think it was also easier to get certain artists.
Yeah, you must have been so nervous for that though, like your first proper like big name being filmed, everything. And like you, yeah. I'm an overthinker, so I can't imagine how like on edge you would have been. But you went through every scenario in your head.
Oh, absolutely. And I always feel like I'm always want it kind of to be over. Like, I'm always like, I just want it to be over so that I've got it in the can, you know. I just, part of me, like, obviously really enjoys, I love filming the episodes. But there's that part of me that's like, I can't wait until we finish filming and it's, like, done. So it's, like, wrapped and we've got the episode and I can just relax when I'm in the edit. Because so many things go wrong, but as in so many people drop, not so many people, but, you know, people drop out. Things, you think something's going to happen. It doesn't. Like, as you know as well, like with organising the podcast, like you can also be hounding people for so long to come on the show. If they've given you a, you know, a glimpse of like, yeah, I'd love to come on. And then like, you're just, okay, from that day on, I'm emailing you every week. So it's a big process and, yeah, the nerves never go away, but I do think it's a good thing to be a bit nervous because then it means you care and...
Yeah, you're invested.
Yeah, but I could definitely control the nerves a bit more. Like, there's sometimes I'm, like, so nervous, it's just unnecessary.
So your character is actually, like, a little bit how you are. Would you say it's a character or do you, like, turn up the awkwardness or, like, don't give them a response straight away to make them feel uncomfortable? Do you, like, turn it up a few notches of your natural self, would you say?
Definitely. I feel like it's not, like, a character so far removed, you know, like, Asim Chowdhury playing Tribuddy G, for example. That's, like, two completely separate things. Whereas mine is like an exaggerated version of myself. So as you said, like turning up the awkwardness, knowing if I say certain things or take the conversation in a certain way or be weird, that it's going to make a more entertaining episode. So I'm definitely conscious of that. And I've grown into the character, I think. As I said, it's been like nearly 10 years now from like the very beginning. And I've grown up. I'm like 27 now. So I've become more confident. I've learned more about comedy and tricks you can do and things and learning from watching other people and writing and working on loads of different projects. So I think when I watch old episodes, I'm like, oh, I'm quite not timid, but like, it's just different. It's just different to how I am now. And I think the confidence has grown and the character's evolved with my own growing up, basically.
Yeah, that's good. You can see how much you've grown. Would you say there's anyone you've taken like inspiration from? Because I feel like some of the awkwardness and awkward parts reminds me of like early Louis Theroux, you know, and he just asks the most like savage questions, but he's so deadpan and just is like awkward with it that they're just backed in a corner of awkwardness, so they answer.
That's such a big compliment, thank you. He's like one of my idols. So yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the Louis Theroux. I feel like, what do you mean, like with the Weird Weekends, like back in the day when he was, that series when he was like a lot younger and the subject matter was a lot more lighthearted and he was really funny. And he is still funny, but the shows he does now are a lot more serious. Which I also love. But yeah, Louis Theroux is a massive inspiration for me. There's also a show called Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, who's in The Hangover. And he interviews like massive celebs. Like he's had Obama on it, Clooney, Brad Pitt. I even think he might have had Hillary Clinton at one point. But he has huge, huge stars. And the whole point of the show is it's literally they're sat between two ferns, like two fern trees. And he's so awkward and weird and gets them so freaked out. And I love that. And that was a huge inspiration for me. A lot of American chat shows, actually, big inspirations. There's another comedian called Eric Andre. and he's got the Eric Andre Show, which is like a wacky chat show. And then Pop World was a huge inspiration for me. Used to watch that growing up on T4 with Simon Amstel and Makita Oliver and all of their like really fun celebrity interviews where they showed a different side to the pop star, and that was just a big inspiration for me too.
Yeah, that's why I love your interviews so much. I feel like everyone you interview, you just see a different side of them than you usually see. I think when it's a normal interviewer, people like know what to expect and they're kind of prepared, but where you're just so different, you just see completely different sides of these footballers and stuff. Even on the cooking show, I love that when you're like deliberately bad at cooking and then people are like, what the hell's happening?
To be fair, I am actually horrendous at cooking, so it's actually not that forced. It's pretty accurate. But yeah, no, that's, I feel like I also watch so much content myself, and I think when I started Chicken Shop Date, which was the first format I did, I really just didn't want it to be like, you know, the generic interview where, you know, the questions that are coming and it's about like that with a musician, it's like their musical influences or so on and so forth, just predictable. Yeah. I wanted to be asking weirder questions, and yeah, I just think the weirder I am and the more awkward I am, the more out of their shell these guests come. So so that's the whole reason I do it, really. And yeah, I just don't want to be generic. So I'm glad that my sort of style and tone of voice comes through and people kind of can see that as being unique.
So good. I'm in talks to do like my own like hosting of a thing for Vice, and I feel like I'm gonna be like you, but like not intentionally. I'm just awkward and stiff anyway, but hopefully it'll bring people out of their shell to like give me the full picture. Oh, I love that.
You'll be amazing at that. Yeah, I've actually worked quite a lot with Vice and they're brilliant at you know, making like shows that are really stand out as being different, and also they're really brilliant at choosing hosts, so it's great that they chose you, because it's usually people that, you know, are not your average presenter. And that's what is great about it.
Well, you've given me hope. I can get the best out of the people I interview with my awkwardness, but I'm not even gonna have to turn it up a few notches like you. It would just literally be me. But who would
That's what you have to do, just be you.
Yeah, who would you say would you want to get on the Chicken Shop Dates or any of your interview platforms like the most? Because I heard rumours that Drake might be coming on. Can you tell us anything about this?
Oh yeah, I spoke about that recently on a YouTube podcast. So basically he DM'd me at my birthday party. It was like absolutely insane, because I was getting loads of messages, obviously, people from being like, happy birthday, happy birthday. Then all of a sudden, I just see Champagne Pappy in my DMs. Absolutely outrageous. He said, Chicken Shop Date in Harrods? That was the message. And I literally screamed. Just like, what on earth? Like, dream come true, literally. And then I just replied, let me check my schedule. Because I thought he would leave. And he thought that was really funny. But yeah, and then we were having a back and forth where we were arranging the date and everything. And I was like, can I speak to your PA, you know, and I'll arrange it through them or your team. And he was like, no, I arrange things myself. And I was like, okay. So he would like genuinely, like I was sending him the call sheet over DMs. He was meant to be coming to London for the Brit Awards just before the pandemic. And then anyway, he messaged me when I chased him, are we still on for like, I think it was like, are we still on for tomorrow? Or like, are we still on for, you know, 2 days time? He said, oh, I'm so sorry, my trip's been cancelled. I'm not coming to London anymore.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I know, what a roller coaster, but what a whirlwind. But he said he'll make it up to me. And I know someone he's good friends with, my friend Tiffany Calver, who's a DJ. And she said that if he's going to do something, he does it. Like, she was like, he'll do it. If he said he's going to do it, he'll do it. So
we need this content. Crossed. I mean, I'd love for you to go Harrods, but even if not, we need to do a virtual one. I need this content in my life.
Yeah, I know. I know, it'd be amazing. We'll set the chicken shop in Harrods. To be fair, we'd actually arranged I said, can we do it in a real chicken shop? And he was like, yeah, sure, whatever you want.
Amazing.
So, because I was like, the logistical nightmare of like trying to set up a chicken shop in Harrods, I was like, let's just do it. Let's be classic. Go to a classic one. It'll be more iconic. But yeah. So him, obviously Drake. But at the moment, like, I would love, because of obviously the Euros, would love to get Jack Grealish on. He's very highly requested in the
that
DMs.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Good.
So yeah, I'd love to try and get him on, so I need to try and finesse it with his agent or something, get a contact and make it work. But I've met him before, I interviewed him before, he was brilliant, so yeah. Hopefully. The girls are really wanting that to happen, so I want to make it happen for everyone.
And do you find like a lot of people just coming up in like the music scene or whatever reach out to you now? Because I feel like it's like a staple to like make it. If they've been on like the chicken shop dates, they're like actually someone. Oh. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's the plan. I hope that that's going forward, that's what it is. But yeah, no, obviously, yeah, people reach out to me now, and labels, management, publicists, and yeah, it's still like lots of those opportunities I say yes to, but then obviously loads of them aren't right, or you know, they just don't fit what I want from the show, or like maybe they're not as well known at the moment, because I feel like now I've got the show into a place where I can get bigger artists, and also the fans expect that and want that. So I still have to be picky, but I'm very picky, like anyone is with who they date, so yeah.
I love that. Have you ever been disappointed by a guest? But you don't have to say who, but has there been anyone that's just give you nothing and you're really like, oh.
I feel like sometimes people aren't maybe as charismatic as I thought they would be, but then it's my job as the interviewer to get something good out of anyone. Doesn't matter what they give you, like you have to come away from that hour you have with them, or even less, with something that's usable, like, and if I haven't done that, then I've not done my job, rather than them be crap. So, but I think that but yeah, I think with the show though, with the formats that I do, I'm quite lucky in the sense that people don't come to me for like a really insightful interview. They come for like just a bit of fun. And if it's awkward, then it kind of works in my favour. So yeah, in that sense, it's not as challenging as, you know, some people who have to interview celebs and get something deep from them or whatever, or so I've got that to my advantage, so yeah
true. I guess a lot of like interviewers are like, oh, the worst thing, it could be really awkward, there could be awkward silences, but for you it's like the best thing, it makes them squirm.
Exactly.
Into giving you the best answers.
Yeah, I'm just basically trying to make it easy for myself, so if something goes completely wrong, then it's just part of the whole vibe, so yeah. It's actually great. I would highly recommend to everyone.
Awkwardness for the win. How do you handle your social media? Do you, obviously it's like your job, but do you have like days where you take off and just chill with your friends, or are you like glued to your phone?
At the moment I'm really glued to my phone, and it's really bad, and especially now that I love TikTok, and it's just, TikTok is just a hellhole of getting sucked in. You're honestly, you're like, I'm just going to watch, someone sends you one TikTok, you're there for 3 hours. So I'm really bad at the moment, but I'm taking some time off in August where I'm hoping to just get out of this cycle of being on my phone the whole time and like read more, because in lockdown I got really into reading and it made me feel so good. So I'd love to do that more. But in terms of social media, as anyone who likes social media as part of their job, like, I take it really seriously in terms of being very self-conscious of what I post and being like maybe too much sometimes, like very specific in what I put on my feed and curate it very well. Maybe it doesn't look like I do, and I think a lot of people it doesn't look like they do, but I do think if you want to be successful on Instagram or on social media, you do have to take it into consideration. So yeah, I'm very particular with what I post, and also in terms of like branded work, like very specific on what I'll say yes to and make sure that it fits with my tone of voice and that, you know, it's funny in some way or that it's awkward in the right way, that it makes sense for me. So yeah, I take it really seriously, but I guess, as you said, it's part of the job, so it's like how anyone takes their job seriously. But yeah, in terms of breaks, I try and like put like take videos and photos, but then like don't upload it straight away. And I feel like that's quite good in terms of, I find that makes me more relaxed so that I can then sit down and go through my photos and videos that I've posted, that I've taken of the event or the day. Then I can just really make sure that they're exactly what I want to put out. And that I also like putting things up all together so that it's kind of like the story goes back to back. So it's like something for people to watch all in one go. Rather than bits. So like in that way, I do think about it, and that makes me feel a bit like I'm, you know, taking some time to think about it. But when I'm with my friends, I try not to be on my phone, obviously. Sometimes I find that my friends who are not, who completely different jobs, are on their phones way more than me. So yeah, it's just because you've got a social media kind of job, I don't think it means that you're on your phone all the time.
That's such a good idea, because I sometimes panic. I'm like, oh my God, I'm the worst influencer. I'm not post enough. But it does take away from like the event or like the time that you're out with your friends. Feel like I have pressure to be like, oh my God, I need to post this. I need to show people what I'm doing. But doing it the way you do it, like take the pictures and sit down another day and then put it all as like a story that makes sense and flows. Because with me, I like start it and I like look all bougie like at the beginning of the night, and then by the end, I'm like slurring everywhere, like slurring.
Yeah, and then you forget to post, and then you're like, oh God, you wake up and you're like, what the hell? But then I also think that like people like you and other people who have that kind of, who do that, really does work as well for some people. That just fits with their personality, that it's just more like, you know, posting on the go, and like people really like that as well. So I do think it just whatever works for you, and some people that really works well. I got that advice from Kim Kardashian. She didn't say that to me personally, but I was watching an interview with her and she said that that's what she does, so that she's more actually like it present at things. Yeah. Is that she won't upload until like the next day. And, you know, people don't really care if it's like the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
And if it's not like an event that's been publicized, like who's gonna know? Exactly. Like what day things happened.
Yeah, you're there in the fetal position with a terrible hangover and just posting this as if you're still there reliving
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And people are like, oh wow, and you're just like vomiting in the toilet.
Did you ever get trolled on social media, like maybe at the beginning when people didn't really get like your whole character kind of thing, or have you never really had trolling at all?
I've never really had trolling in the sense of like a pile on or like a lot of negative comments. I've had at the beginning when I first started on the YouTube comments, it would more be like, what the hell is this? Why is she so awkward? Like she's not hot. Like lots of comments about my appearance, which I still get actually to now. But, and it was just more like, what is this? I don't get it. The vibe was like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So I think as time's gone on, people understanding it more, and people are getting on board with the sense of humour. And then once they get on board with it, they really love it. So yeah. I think now I don't really have those comments on my YouTube, and on my YouTube is a really amazing place of like really positive comments. Before it was mainly about the guests, like comments about the guests. And now it's more like a lot about me, which is great, because I think that's why also people didn't know my name and like call me Chicken Girl and stuff, because I don't know, I feel like it was so much more about the guest, or that I hadn't made a name for myself, so people didn't really know who I was, and it was all the focus on the guest. Whereas now I think as I'm building my own name up, the comments are about me and people are like invested in me just as much as the guest, but that just takes time. And yeah, I think I was once trolled like in lockdown, but that was just by loads of bigots, so I didn't really care. Like it was like by loads of right-wing people, because I'd said something about white, I was talking about white privilege on a podcast, and so I basically ruffled the feathers of like racists, which I don't care about. Yeah. So so that's fine. Yeah, exactly. Whereas obviously like so that's the only time and that's happened. So so yeah, but I know like that happens a lot, and especially like, you know, when you were on Love Island, and that must be so hard for like the influx of just negative comments from people who just have no idea what they're talking about.
It's good you've had such a good experience, and I guess I bet all them people that were like, oh, I don't get it, have now gone back and deleted all them comments. Now they're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, I feel really lucky in that sense. I also feel like, but it might be to do because the rise of Chicken Shop Date has been quite gradual. Mm. And I think often what happens when you get trolled is probably because you're flung into the spotlight and you become extremely famous or like very well known very quickly. And I think that's what trolls don't like. And that's just people's own insecurities coming out, and there's no reason why it should ever happen. But I think that is a byproduct of like going viral, for example. Or like being on a reality TV show. Whereas with me, I think I've got less of the hate comments because it's been more gradual.
Mm.
That's what my theory is. But in terms of like comments about my appearance, like what I get loads is like people debating, boys debating whether I'm attractive. That's what I get the most, which sometimes gets me down, but it also doesn't at the same time, because I just kind of see it as boys not understanding that like someone who's funny, a woman that's funny or that's like weird, can also be hot or like attractive, or that's not what's deemed to be attractive like in society. So that's what I get the most, which is kind of like a troll comment. It's like people saying like backhanded compliments about what I look like.
Yeah. And it's like completely takes away from like the interview. That's not what you're, whether you like didn't even have a, say if you wasn't even shown, like your sense of humour and the way you hold yourself is like why we're watching this, why we love you on all of these things. It's not about like how you look, and as if that's got any relevance whatsoever to the interview. Do you know what I mean? I read an interview where you was like, well, I know I'm fit anyway, so fuck what these people say, but it does get me down sometimes. But it's just annoying that these people can, like, have their opinion and debate it on your platform.
Yeah, it's the debating thing. It's like, it's just always, it's just like, why is this, like, a discussion on whether, like, I'm good looking or not? And or like another one is like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to go to a psychiatric nurse because I think that you're hot, like what's wrong with me, like why do I think you're good looking, like it's that vibe, which I get so much.
What the hell? But
I genuinely think it's just because like in society there's like a really clear beauty standard, which is often that like for women it's that like being funny doesn't go hand in hand with being attractive.
Mm.
And I think that that's just part of society that needs to change. And I also think that I'm like, in terms of, I'm like a white, blonde, small girl. So like, I still fit a beauty standard, you know? So, yeah. It, you know, there's so many other people that are like that don't fit society's beauty standards. So I'm like, what kind of comments are you getting? So it is wild, but that's just boys. And when I say boys, I don't even mean like under 18 year olds. I mean like grown men who like
that mentality,
saying these things with boy mentality. Yeah, but yeah, so that's the my trolling experience, which is not really the same as what some people get, but yeah that's just that. And I do think it's as part of being a woman, like, you know, men do not get their appearance critiqued half as much as women do in terms of like when you're doing a job like mine or doing kind of any job. I think that your attractiveness, if you're a woman, is like a tick box, and if you don't tick that box, then it's like, I don't know, you've not met the standard, or you know, you deserve to be criticized.
It's so backwards. Like you said, I never really thought about it until just then, when you're like, yeah, you have to either pick like being funny and intelligent or pretty. Like, you can't be both. Like, what the hell? That's so old fashioned.
Yeah. Nice. And obviously, like, there's loads of amazing female comedians that are like, you know, doing so well and like are breaking down those boundaries. But like, you know, there's still that whole stereotype of like girls aren't funny, and that like, and yeah, that guys want a girl that's just hot with no sort of personality, and there's, it's, yeah, that's just what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I do think it's like a small minority, and it's like the small minority though that do troll, and it is hard to like unhear it once you've seen it. Like the same kind of with me in Love Island, I was like portrayed as like the man-eater, the fit one, the sexy one, the ex-stripper. And then I'll like walk around in town and like people be like, oh my God, she's not actually that fit in person, is she? And you're just like, ugh, I don't know. But it's like a small percentage. But yeah.
That's awful. I'm really sorry to hear that. And also, I just think being on Love Island just does put you on such a platform. It's crazy. I'm like, I'm watching it now actually. And like, yeah, you just, the hate still carrying on even after everything. But yeah, it's true. Yeah. I also think that, yeah, you just have to have tough skin, and you just have to laugh at the sad little lives of these people.
Literally, who's got time to make an account just to troll and hate? I think they're the people who like need help. It's sad, really. I feel, in a way, I feel sorry. I mean, that's how I handle the trolling.
Yes.
But
you have to. You have to just pity them.
What would you say has been your biggest career lesson so far?
Career lesson. I think it's that I don't have to do everything, that I can delegate things. I think, not that I'm a control freak, because I feel like that's a negative term, but that I think maybe I've learned so much from, you know, giving jobs to other people or letting other people handle things, so that my time can be better spent doing, you know, the creative or focusing on my performance. And I think for so long I was just, I need to do everything, I need to do all the emails, I need to be in every conversation, and actually it was holding me back. And that there's so much you can get from, you know, putting your faith in people to work with you as a team, and just to think of myself as more of a team than just me on my own. And that's also helped my mental health so much, and because the feeling that you're the only one driving everything forward, or that everything's on your shoulders,
that's a lot of pressure.
It's just so stressful. It feels like a weight, you know, literally a physical weight on you. So I think my biggest lesson is just to be like letting go a bit, letting go and giving things to other people. But it's hard when you've started your thing on your own, and you feel like it's your baby or whatever.
Yeah, you've built it off the ground all by yourself. You must be so proud to get it like where you've got it and be as successful as you are when that's all your own idea.
Definitely. And that, but I think that the next step of growing yourself is to let go and to find those people that can drive things forward with you. So yeah, that's my biggest lesson, and I'm still learning so much in terms of that, in terms of letting go and building my team out and trying to not take everything on myself.
Mm. And lastly, what advice would you give to any girls just starting out, whether that's like their own YouTube channel and they've got like a unique idea for a YouTube channel that they want to get like noticed and get the views up, or if it's like starting out presenting or just interviewing and journalism, what would you say is your biggest like nuggets of advice?
Nuggets of advice, I like that.
That wasn't even intentional.
It wasn't all. Chicken nuggets of advice. It would be, my main nugget is that if you want to do like YouTube or, you know, put something out there yourself, whatever that is on whatever platform, find out what is unique to you. And that's a really hard task. So I would go from asking your friends, because your friends are the best people to tell you like what is your like quirk. Mm. And they know that, and they know exactly like what makes you different, and it's really difficult to know that with yourself sometimes. So I was always known as like, everyone would say, oh, you're so awkward in media, like you're the awkward one. And that's how I realized, oh, am I? Like, okay, well, I'm gonna use that as my like superpower, and that's gonna be the thing that sets me apart. So I would go and ask your friends or whatever, your family, like, what is that special thing about me? It might be a bit of an awkward conversation, but just do it, and they'll love you asking them, and you'll learn a bit about yourself. And then I would say, use that special thing and make that your USP and run with that. And that's what your content should be about. And that's what should be the basis of what you're putting out. Because anything that's like unique to you is gonna be a success.
100%. And I feel like if you're your most authentic self and you're just yourself, you can't really go wrong.
Exactly. But I do think when people say that, it's just really hard, I think, sometimes to know, like, what is my authentic self? Like, I don't know. Like, what is it? I don't, like, who am I? So, yeah, that's why I would just do some market research and just ask your mates.
Market research it, yeah. Some of the answers might not be nice, but just embrace it.
Exactly, embrace it, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been amazing and so interesting to have you on. Like, I've wanted to ask these questions. I think I met you, like, maybe 2 years ago at an event, but like we was out and it was for Radio One, and I think I addressed
for Radio One, yeah.
I sadly addressed you as like Chicken Shop Girl, and I was like, I didn't really know you well. I just wanted to ask you all these questions then, but thank you for coming.
I don't mind when people say that at all. But yeah, no, it's been amazing to chat to you. I've loved meeting you. Hope to see you again actually IRL. In real life.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so. Thank you so much, and hopefully this is really going to help some girls just starting out their career and following your footsteps.
So. Yeah, that would be amazing. And it's all so possible now with the internet. Like, you literally can start your own idea, and like, if it wasn't for YouTube, I wouldn't have anything. So yeah, it's so possible.
Amazing. Thank you. I can't wait for your next date.
Oh my god, same. Jack Grealish, hello. Answer my DMs.
Okay, amazing, babe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. And be sure to subscribe so you get next week's episode as soon as it lands. And remember, for the best experience, make sure you listen on the Entel app.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.